This morning we're going to talk about a search for acceptance, and I'm the world's worst at coming up with titles for lessons, so I hope this is exactly what you think it is. Like I said, I'm not that great, but we're going to get our reading from Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 this morning, and we're going to talk about being conformed to the world and how we need to transform our minds into God's will this morning. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, as I think about this scripture, and I think about being conformed to the world and how we conform ourselves to the world in many ways, and how we're on this search for acceptance. You know, human beings have a desire to be accepted by their peers, by people around them. They have a desire to be accepted. And, you know, we'll act in ways that are uncharacteristic a lot of times just to fit in with others. You know, peer pressure is a real thing, and it doesn't just happen to kids. It happens to adults, to anybody of any age. You know, this makes me think about freshman initiation that high schools do, and how they can get people to do just crazy things so that they can fit in with the rest of the high school, and how we'll do things, like I said, that are just very uncharacteristic just to fit in. And it can happen to anyone at your job, at school. It can happen. And we've always had this desire to be accepted, this desire to be able to identify ourselves with something. That's what it all boils down to. You know, I enjoy being able to identify myself with this church. I enjoy being able to identify myself with my family, because I have that desire to identify myself with something. And you know, people will do things just so they can be identified. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." It says, according to the course of this world. You know, it's human nature to want to fit in with this world and to desire and to enjoy the things that are in this world. It's human nature. And as Christians, that's something that we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight to not want to conform to this world, because the world's going to conform us to it if we just sit back and let it. We're going to have to fight to not conform to the world. You know, like I said, it's our nature. We're going to want to fit in. There's going to be things that we're going to want to do to fit the world so that we're popular, so that we have friends, so that we can identify ourselves with a group of people. You know, the word conformity there in Romans chapter 12 means to match like a pattern, to fit. You know, I think if you took some water and you poured it into a cup, how that water would conform to the cup and how it would be the exact shape of the cup. You know, the water's no different than it was before, but it fits the cup exactly how the cup wants it to. You know, if it was just depending on the cup, it could be all kinds of different shapes, but the water is just going to conform to that exact shape. So what conforms us to the world? You know, there's a few things that we would think of right off the bat. You know, sports, our hobbies, our job. You know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but once you get used to those things, you start realizing that you're conformed to them. They become your life. They become the pattern that you're trying to fit. And we can do this a lot of times with our hobbies. You know, sooner or later, if you decide to place golf on one Sunday morning, you know, "I'm just going to miss one Sunday. I'm going to go play golf." And you think the next time, "Well, you know what? I'll just go again. That was fun. It's not going to hurt anything if I miss one more Sunday." And before long, you've conformed to that. Your job can do the same thing. If you don't try to stop or to resist those things that the peers at your job are doing, then you're going to conform to that. You know, I heard a story about a guy who he was on the committee at his job for the Christmas party, and they wanted to serve alcohol at the Christmas party, and he was against that, and they just kicked him off the committee. They said, "Well, then we don't need you on the committee if you're not going to want to do what we want to do." You know, he could have easily conformed to what they wanted him to do. And he could have accepted that. And he could have just, you know, thought, well, that'll be normal. If he wouldn't have stood up for what he believed, then he would have conformed to their ideas and their beliefs and what they wanted. He would have conformed to the world. But you know, these aren't the only things that conform us to the world. You know, we can be conformed just as easily by our fears, by our temptations, by adversity, by pain and suffering, by trials that we face in this life. It can conform us to this world. You know, what I start to think about is whenever you start to get used to these things, when you start to get used to skipping church for your hobbies, or when you start getting used to replacing God's word with a sport or with your job, it taking importance over that, then you're conforming to that. And if you let your fears get between you and God's word, if you let the temptations and you let your adversity, if it becomes normal to you, if it becomes something that you just lay down and accept, then you're conforming to that. And that's something that we need to fight. In Job chapter 2 and verse number 3, we read a story about a woman who conforms to what the world would want her to do. Beginning there, verse number 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." You know, she was getting used to this. The fact that things were going to happen to her husband, to her family. That bad things were going to happen. And you know, whenever she finally had enough, she said, curse God and die. She conformed exactly to what the world wanted her to do. You know, and whenever we reach these adversities or these temptations, or maybe it's this point in your job or your hobby where you can conform to the world, or you can decide to grow because of that adversity. You can decide at that point whether you're going to curse God and die, whether you're going to lay over and let the world conform you, or whether you're going to fight it. Job's wife was conformed because of adversity. You know, we read another few verses about Jeremiah. We don't read about Jeremiah a lot or talk about him a lot. But Jeremiah was a very good man. And in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 52, it says, "Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry." You know, Jeremiah faced a lot of adversity. He faced a lot of pain. You know, they tried to stone him. You know, once the world tries to stone you for preaching God's word or trying to teach somebody God's word, excuse me, then you might think, maybe I should not be doing this. Maybe I should conform to the world and just be done with this, to get away from this pain, to get away from this adversity. But unlike Job's wife, Jeremiah would not conform to the world. And we're going to read about that more lately. So do you feel adversity this morning? Is it conforming you to God's word? Are you getting, or to the world, excuse me? You know, Jeremiah and Job both felt adversity. And in those two different stories, we read completely opposite outcomes from that. You know, Job's wife, she just conformed to the world when adversity came their way. She got used to it and she said, you know what? This is the only way to get rid of this. Just curse God and die. It's the only way to come at peace with this. And as we read later, Jeremiah does not conform to the world. In John chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know, this is the scripture we most think about when we talk about the world. It says the things in the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, we can let those things grab a hold of us, and they can conform us. Once we start getting used to those things, they've conformed us. They've made us like their pattern. whenever we fit to mold those things, whenever we change our lives around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, whenever we change ourselves to fit our adversities, then we're conforming to the world. In Colossians 2 and verse number 8 it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, it says that men can spoil you. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. James chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know, this verse really, I guess, puts it into perspective that being a friend of the world, conforming to the world, makes you the enemy of God. Makes you something that God doesn't like. The enemy of God. And, you know what, it makes me think back to Jeremiah. It makes me think back to Job and the things that he went through. And how his wife just wanted to curse God and die. And I wonder, did she ever think for a second, maybe this isn't God that's doing this. Maybe it's Satan. You know, Satan was the one who was behind all that. Satan was the one that caused those things to happen to Job and his family. And she wanted to curse God. And it says that if we stoop to that level, if we go to curse God and die, we've become his enemy. The enemy of God. And then a couple of verses later there in 1 John it says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." This is what happens when you conform to the world. You're going to pass away, as we read there in 1 John chapter 2 and 17. The lusts are going to pass away. They're not forever, but God's word is forever. You become the enemy of God, as it said there in James chapter 4. We separate ourselves from God, as we read there in verses 15 and 16. And we're spoiled. You know, when I think of the word spoiled, I go to thinking of rotten food, I guess, and how awful. How awful it looks, how awful it smells, how you don't want to touch it, you don't want to be anywhere around it, you just want to throw it out. And the world will do that to us. The world will spoil us, make us the enemy of God, and separate us from his love. So let's talk about transforming our mind for the remainder of the lesson this morning. You know, what does it mean to be transformed? We read there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind into the perfect, acceptable will of God. You know, the word transform there means to change into another form. You know, when I think of transform, I obviously think about a transformer. If y'all have ever seen the movie or cartoons, how they're these cars and they change into these huge robots that fight bad guys. And how they're changing to something completely different. Into a completely different form. This is my personal favorite transformer. That's a futon. And you think about how it transformed to something, to a completely different use. You know, you can sit on it. You can, multiple people, but then once you fold it out, it's a bed. You can sleep on it. And how it changes to something completely different. You know, it doesn't conform into a different shape. It transforms into something better, to something with a better use, to something that you can use. And I think that's what transforming is all about, transforming our mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, it talks about in Romans chapter 12, the will of God, doing the perfect will of God and transforming our minds in the will of God. And I think it's true. We become a completely new creature, just like the futon did. Something completely different with a better use that God can use to do great things. In James chapter 1 and 21 it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." You know, a transformation is changing something completely different, as we've said. You know, renewing, you think about renewing your mind. To change, to think differently, to act differently. Everything you do is different whenever you renew your mind. And we must lay apart the bad things that are in our lives. Whenever we have that sin, and whenever we obey God's word, we gotta lay apart this sin that's in our life. We gotta shed it. We gotta become that new creature, completely new in every aspect of our life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers, of whom, of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, I really like the word translated us there. Like transforming, it's translated us to something completely different, something completely new. And that's through Jesus' blood that we can be transformed, that we can be changed through his, through God's will, through Jesus' blood. And then in Galatians chapter 2, it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You think about something completely new whenever you take on Christ. Whenever you become part of Christ. A complete transformation. A renewing of the mind. A new creature. You know, when you think about conformity versus transformation, I think about two different things. You know, a frog in a boiling pot of water. You've heard that analogy before. You know, if you put a frog and you try to throw him in a pot of boiling water, he's going to jump out. But if you put a frog in a pot of cold water and turn the heat on, he'll sit there until he boils to death. And when we conform to the world, it's the exact same thing. You know, conformity doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in an instance. It happens over time. It's something that's going to make gradual changes. As I said before about your hobby or your job taking place over God's word and over doing his will, you know, it's going to start off with, well, you know, I'm sick today. I'm not going to go to church, and that's fine. And then the next time it's, well, I'm not feeling so well, so you don't come to church. And the next time it's, well, my head's kind of hurting a little bit, and it's not that big a deal. I'll just skip church today. And then it's, well, I think I might get sick this evening. There might be somebody sick at church, so I'm not going to go. And before you know it, you don't come to church at all. If you replace God's word with, or studying God's word with going out one night with some friends, and then the next time you think, well, I mean, it won't hurt to skip one more, you know, studying again and again and again. And before long, you don't study God's word at all. And that's what conformity is. It's slowly changing, slowly making yourself like that pattern. It's not going to happen overnight. You're slowly going to let yourself conform to the world. And then transformation. Like I said, becoming something completely new, something completely different. I think about, besides a futon, I think about a butterfly coming out of a cocoon and how it's just a caterpillar at first. And it transforms into something that has a completely different way of life, something that's completely different. You wouldn't even think they could be the same thing. When you look at the old butterfly, you think, how have they changed into that? That's how we must transform and renew our minds into something completely different with a better use that God can use. Let's talk for a second about a church that conforms to the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, we read, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, I believe that the church today must transform. Not to fit the pattern of the world, not to fit what the world wants us to do, but we must transform into something better, into a way that we can evangelize and reach the world in a better way. You know, Jesus taught in parables, and what is the only reason for that? It's so that the people could understand him, so that they would know what he was talking about. When he was talking to fishermen, he spoke in fishing terms. You know, when he was talking to a shepherd, he would talk in those terms. He would talk in different terms so that people would understand it. And the church has to do the same thing today. You know, Paul preached until midnight. I have a feeling there would be less people here if they knew I was preaching until midnight. You know, we got to change to fit the world today. You know, years ago, back before indoor air conditioning was big, before everyone had it, people would sit out on their front porch in the evenings to stay cool. And that's a perfect time to go by and try to get studies with people, like door knocking today. Perfect time to go by and try to meet people. You know, back before air conditioning, there would be the form of entertainment would be coming together and having church outside with a cool, nice breeze in the evening. You know, things have changed. People don't have those needs anymore. They have air conditioning in their homes. They have different forms of entertainment now. And we have to change to fit, to evangelize better to the world. You know, we have this thing today that we call the five-part study. And how, you know, today people are so busy that you know, we just want to get sit down with them five times. If we can sit down with you five times, we'll study God's Word. And things are changing. But we can't conform. You know, when you think about a church that conforms, you think about them changing to fit the world's needs. You know, somebody might say, well, you know, we really need to get some more people in the doors. So what's something we can do to get some more people in the doors? And you know, we could easily put a band over here. We could easily do that. We got plenty of room up here. We could conform to the world, what the world wants us to do. And we can change and we'd probably get more people to come to church here. You know, we'd know people that would love to come here if they could play in the band. Or we could change and do other things. We could change and start having Bible classes. You know, I know we'd get more members if we just have Bible classes. And those changes aren't going to happen overnight. They're going to gradually change. You know, I heard a story, Pappy was telling me the other day about how a church slowly changed into having classes and how they first started and they just put up a curtain. Well, then you could hear through the curtain, and so they put up a wall, and then before you know it, it's just a Bible class. And how things slowly change over time. But we must transform the church. We can't change the church and conform to what the world wants. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 19, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker, therefore with you." You see, the church has got to change. They got to transform to meet the world. We got to transform to be able to reach to the world and to evangelize to them. Lastly, this morning I want to talk about our ability to combat conformity. When I think about what we've talked about being conformity today, you know, fears and temptations, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things that are of the world, our jobs, our hobbies, the things that we love to do that are in the world that can conform us. You know, I go back and I think to this scripture. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, if God's not going to allow you to undergo something that you can't overcome, then that means He knows when you're undergoing things. He knows. He knows how well you can overcome these temptations. He knows how well you can, you know, can defeat these fears and these temptations and these lusts and the adversities that we face in life. He knows how strong that is, and He knows that we can overcome it. And He's going to make that way. I fully believe that everyone has the ability to overcome anything thrown at them. You know, God says it here in 1 Corinthians. You have that ability to combat this conformity. As we finish up reading what Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3 and 57, it says, "Thou drewest near to me, near in the day that I call upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not." You know, Jeremiah, as we said, he was chased by his enemies. They tried to stone him. They did awful things to him. And he could have easily did what Job's wife did when they faced adversity. And he could have said, "You know what? I'm going to curse God and die. I'm done with this. I'm going to," you know, he changes to the world to fit what the world wants him to do. Instead, he drew near to God. And God said, "Fear not." Verse number 11 of Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. This is what it takes, renewing your mind into the mindset that I'm going to search God with everything I have. The mindset that no matter what this world throws at me, temptations or lust, adversity, pain, suffering, trials and tribulations, I'm going to search for God with all my heart. And in James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I fully believe this is what happened to Jeremiah. When he drew nigh to God, God drew nigh to him. God came to him. You know the word nigh there means approach. Whenever Jeremiah approached God, God approached him. The word also means to join. And whenever Jeremiah joined God, God joined Jeremiah. God came to him. And that's what we have to do. We have to join God. We have to approach God. We have to come to him. We have to change our mindset, become that new creature, and completely transform what we are into something different. And God will come to us. God will join us. The search for acceptance is over. As we read there in Romans chapter 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when you think about wanting to identify yourself with something, wanting to be a part of something, and wanting to be accepted, you can think of this verse here. The will of God is acceptable. And Jesus will accept you. You know, Jesus' invitation is free for all. It's open to all at any time. It's acceptable. If you want to be accepted by something, come to God and do his will. You know, we're about to sing a song here in just a second. And it says, this world is not my home. I think that's one of the hardest things that we can wrap our minds around. That where we live now, it's not our home. This isn't where we're going to spend eternity. You know, it's hard to understand because this is all we know. All we know is this world. And it's hard not to conform to it because it's all we know is the lust and temptations of the world, the fears that come from the world, the adversity that comes from the world. But that adversity will be over one day. The lust will be gone one day. The temptations will be gone one day. The trials and tribulations will be gone one day. But only if we accept God's will, only if we transform our minds, if we can change to fit God's word instead of changing to fit the world.